About a year ago, I discovered a book that changed my life. Inside this book, I found principles to guide my life at home, at work, everywhere I went. This book gave me examples to follow and discussed the important questions of existence. The book challenged my personal views about the ways things should be, and it gave me a purpose. And it did all of it without lists of genealogies or names of unpronounceable cities. The book I'm talking about is, of course, productivity guru David Allen's Getting Things Done. You see, according to David Allen, in order to lead a truly accomplished life, the first thing I need to do is organize my office. If I knew where everything was, I'd never forget what I needed to do next. If I always knew what I needed to do next, I'd never need to sit and wonder and waste time. If I could always be methodically accomplishing things step by step after inexorable step, I would become an unstoppable productivity machine. In the introduction to his own book, Allen comments, "Welcome to a gold mine of insights into strategies for how to have more energy, be more relaxed, and get a lot more accomplished with a lot less effort." We're all after results like this. Drive around town and see the number of different places you can buy equipment to help you get organized. Take a look through the magazine racks at the grocery store and count the number of hyper-effective miracle diets you read about. Or, for the most mundane example, go to work tomorrow morning and ask someone for a to-do list. Our preoccupation with results is more than just a way of ensuring our work gets done. It's tyranny. Clocks hang everywhere, reminding us of how little time we have left to work. Emailed assignments arrive via cell phone rather than waiting for us patiently at our desks. To-do lists can be linked to your satellite coordinates to remind you wherever you go of what you need to accomplish in that specific place. And one of the few things statisticians track that consistently goes down is the amount of time we spend not working every year. At the same time, while we chase results, we don't always see what they are. In an article in last week's New York Times Magazine called "The Case with Work for Working with Your Hands," the author opens by commenting, "Many of us do work that feels more surreal than real. Working in an office, you often find it difficult to see any tangible results from your efforts. What exactly have you accomplished at the end of any given day? Where the chain of cause and effect is opaque and responsibility diffuse, the experience of individual agency can be elusive. Dilbert, The Office, and similar portrayals of cubicle life attest to the dark absurdism with which many Americans have come to view their white-collar jobs." I personally suspect that deep down in the most visceral parts of ourselves, many of us do view our jobs this way, an endless progression of work, performed under hectic schedules, one task overlapped by another and another. We see the work continuing and never see the results. We only rarely see an object we made, and if we're honest, this frustrates us. We're expected to produce results in every area of our lives, but denied often a clear sense of what they are. Confronted with this somewhat schizophrenic set of expectations, how can we avoid confusion, anger, and fatigue? The world around us offers little choice. You are, in fact, this morning in the one place where you are set free from deadlines, from yearly goals, and micromanaging. God calls us in today's gospel to faithfulness in our work for his kingdom and allows us to leave the worrying over the results to him. Faithfulness over results. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. The farmer in the story here sounds passive, but he's not lazy. He plants a field, sleeps through the night, and goes back to work the next day, trusting the earth and its creator to do their work to provide the crops. He's done his part in spreading the seeds over the ground. When the plants are ready, he comes back to bring them to the barn. But in between, our farmer knows he has better things to do than worry. Elsewhere in the Bible, too, we're reminded that God gives growth, not our own efforts. In the book of Isaiah, God promises the prophet, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." In 1 Corinthians, writing to correct the new church's attitudes toward individual preachers, St. Paul comments, "What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I, Paul, planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Arnold Lobel's classic Frog and Toad series of children's books contains a tale that reflects our fruitless anxiety over the work we're called to do. It begins like this. Toad ran home. He planted the flower seeds. "Now, seeds," said Toad, "start growing." Toad walked up and down a few times. The seeds did not start to grow. He put his head close to the ground and said loudly, "Now, seeds, start growing." Toad looked at the ground again, and the seeds did not start to grow. "Leave them alone for a few days," his friend Frog advised. "Let the sun shine on them. Let the rain fall on them. Soon your seeds will start to grow." When the seeds had not begun to grow by that night, Toad worried they must be afraid of the dark. He sat in the garden with candles and read the seeds a story. The next day he sang songs to them. The day after that he read poems, and the following day he played music to the seeds in his garden. At the end of the week, frustrated that he must have the most frightened seeds in the whole world, Toad fell asleep and woke to a garden full of new growth, produced while he wasn't even looking. In the end, Toad could simply have trusted that seeds will do what they are made to do once planted, and gone peacefully on with his day. Faithfulness defeats worry. Since God's kingdom grows in ways we don't understand, and since God doesn't need any power of ours to cause that growth, we are called simply to point out where God is already working. Look carefully at the structure of our liturgy every Sunday. In reading selected scriptures, we remember how God has acted through the history of his people. When we offer our confession together, we see that none of our sins are particularly original. They are the same ones God has been rescuing people from since the beginning. And at the Eucharist, we celebrate Christ's sacrifice, which we believe was made for all people and for all times. Our worship service does not offer us the chance to create God's kingdom ourselves, but reveals to us where it is already active and growing. The 17th century monk known as Brother Lawrence had this to say about the right attitude toward our work. "We must serve God in a holy freedom. We must do our business faithfully, without trouble or disquiet. We must go about our labors quietly, calmly, lovingly, entreating God to prosper the works of our hands, thus keeping heart and mind fixed on him." The world around us calls constantly for results, and its definition of what those results consist of constantly changes. But God calls us to faithfulness. He does not demand to see our resumes, or give us quotas or checklists and deadlines to accomplish them by. God gives us seeds to plant, the usual metaphor for his word and its life-changing impact, and he gives us a place to scatter it. Once we have done so, our calling is to show our trust in God's ability to make it grow. Amen.